Let's turn our Bibles this morning to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. There's some things we talked about last week that I'll reiterate a little bit today, and then we'll keep moving on. We're in a place right now. We're especially here in the buckle of the Bible Belt. We are so blessed to be exposed to great ministries, great churches, great ministers. With the invention of the internet, it is just absolutely limitless the access we have to faith teaching. This week on our Faith Friday video, I really encourage people to find faith ministers. You know, a lot of the small towns that we preach in don't have faith churches, and these people, you know, a lot of times they'll listen to some of the people that we love, and they can't stand going to the churches they go to, but they got to get connected somewhere. And sadly, some of them will completely disconnect from the body, just stay home and watch a person on TV or through the internet, and that's not God's will. It's very hard going to a religious church, but at the same time, if that's all you got, there's a grace to do it. There's a grace for the wife to be pastoring and the husband to be pastoring in the army. There's a grace for that. Somebody was asking me a while back regarding military families. How do they do it? Well, you know, the reason why a lot of us can't understand and we see it is because we don't understand the grace that there is for that. Brother Keith has a teaching called Graces and Places that's phenomenal and probably the only teaching I've ever heard talking about there's a specific grace for each thing God has called each and every one of us to do. You know, I love to travel, but I don't like being away from the family. You know, thank God for FaceTime on the phones. I mean, that is a blessing because I get to see the kids, I get to talk to them. You know, now they have our old iPhones. It only works when they're in Wi-Fi, which is basically at home, and I can send them a text, and they'll get it when they get out of school. You know, before they go to bed, I can actually call them up or FaceTime on their little phones. And so God's been blessing. God's doing all. You know, I believe all these electronics, those were designed for believers. They were designed to get the gospel out. They were designed to connect with other believers. They were never designed for the heathen world to use. Sadly, the heathen world they had more vision than we did, but that's changed now, amen? And so with that, we want to make sure that we are staying sensitive to the things of God, all right? In James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10, it says, "But he gives more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Now I want you to see this. There's two groups here. There's double-minded and there's sinners. And I hope we're not in one of those two groups. But the double-minded are believers. The sinners are sinners. The double-minded are believers that have two minds. They're doing things their way, but they're saying they're doing things God's way. Now I want you to see this. It says he gives more grace. It says he resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And then the very end it says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up." You know, one of the things that you'll find when you've been in church for a long time is we kind of develop the sense that we've heard so much. And we have. We've heard a lot and we have. In our area there's a lot of, you know, when a church that was strong seems to go under, a lot of times some of those people that were at those churches, they think, well, you know, that pastor failed. Nah, I'm doing real good, and I guess I don't need to go to church anymore because I know a lot of stuff. I went to a meeting. I was invited to speak at a meeting not too far from here, and the lady who invited me, it was kind of at her little ministry place, and she said, "Michael," she said, "I want you to, you know, give a plug about your church." Now, if I'm in the area, I will not give a plug about my church. And the reason why is that if they're connected to some other churches, I don't want to pull people from other churches. And so I told her, I said, "Well, you know, I really don't want to because I don't want to be fishing." You know what I mean? She said, "Well, just to let you know, these are some folk from the old church, and they all have a ministry. They're all gonna be passing out their cards, but they don't go to church anywhere." And so I was like, okay, all right. And so I went there, and man, you know, it was so funny because it was, this may sound corny, but it was a very Pentecostal anointing that was there. It was an old school type thing, and it was great and all, but it was something that I remember way back in the day. Now, we had a move of God, the prophetic was real strong, but there was a lot of people there that, again, they were stuck in a place where they had learned a lot of great things in the days past, but never progressed, because when you're progressing in the things of God, things don't stay the same. Same is not a thing of God. God wants us to continually be moving forward, continually be moving higher, and here's what happens. This is one of the ways we can say that pride can enter into our life. When we are stuck in the past, we believe what we have works just fine and it's good enough and I'm A-okay. You see, pride doesn't progress. Pride rests on, well, I've learned that before. Oh, I've heard that before. You know, I've told you this story about your brother Keith when he was ministering at a church and a guy walks up to him and says, oh yeah, I've been following Brother Hagin since you were in diapers. And of course, you know, a statement like that is a statement of pride. You know, you don't ever want to say something like that. You know, and again, I've heard people say, yeah, I heard that teaching before, and that's good stuff. And like, there's a lot of times where I learn a lot from great ministers. Don't get me wrong. I think we all ought to be listening to some of these great guys as well. They're teaching it to where we can understand it, especially those who have who walked this road before, have been where we are, and they are not there today. It's one of those things where I like to hear people that they can tell me where they came from, but they can also tell me how they got where they are right now. And so a lot of folks, they'll hear these stories, they'll know all the stories of these ministers, and so if you're preaching and you tell their story, they'll come and correct you at the end of it, as if it's a big deal. You know, I was preaching a funeral one time for my pastor years ago, and I think I got a detail and a story all mixed up one time, and as soon as I got done preaching, this guy, and I knew the guy, and I kind of expected him, and I was waiting for him actually, I knew this guy was going to come and give me a correction on the story that I told. And so he came up and said, hey, Pastor, you know, it's good, but remember, the story you were telling, it's actually so-and-so. And so I'm telling you, I remember Brother Keith saying something about this one time, and I said, well, you got the gist of it, right? And he said, well, yeah. I said, well, that's all. That's all you need. As long as you got what I was talking about, that's all you need. And he kind of walked away like, oh, I thought you can receive my correction. It wasn't a correction. That was just stupid. I got one detail wrong and you missed the whole truth because you were stuck on a detail. Well, you know, so many times we can get used to certain things so much where we get stuck on an insignificant detail. Well, you know, Pastor Michael, that happened in B.C. da-da-da-da-da instead of B.C. da-da-da-da. Okay, well, you missed it. Well, you know, that was John. That wasn't Mark. And oh, no, you mentioned it was Luke, but that was really Matthew. Okay, all right. But do you see what I'm saying? We can get so caught on some of these things because we heard some things so many times. You know, for us in our church, you know, we tithe to, our church tithes to Andrew Womack Ministries. And by the way, Keza texted me a picture of a letter the other day and from Andrew Womack. And of course, you know, she didn't explain it. I couldn't see that. I was driving. I'm trying to do better at not texting and driving because that's bad. And so I waited until I got home and I'm trying to read it as I'm walking to the front door. And I saw something that said special invitation. And so finally I walked in the house and went to the counter and there it was. And we got a special invitation to a very small deal that they're having in Colorado Springs in the month of June. I'm not going to say handfuls, but it's a small deal. Pastor Dollar is going to be preaching. Andrew Womack is going to be preaching. And somebody else is called the Sowers Seminar. And I thought, wow! Man, I tell you what, but all that to be said, we get a lot from the healing stuff we've learned from Andrew Womack. But you know, one of the things that can happen and really has happened in my life is I've heard this teach. I got the DVDs, I got the CDs, I got the MP3s on my phone. I listen to it when I'm raking the yard. I listen to it when I'm driving on road trips, and I can almost quote word for word what he's going to say. I could tell you the story. If I ever hear him telling a story, there's sometimes where he'll tell a story at various settings, the same story, there's another detail. I'm like, oh, well, I never heard that detail before. I never heard that part of it before. But what I'm saying is we know it so much in our soul because we heard it so much that it's no longer fresh in our spirit. And so there was a season where I was fighting some stuff physically, and I'm telling you, I know his notes and his material cover to cover, all 9 DVDs, all episodes on the MP3, all of it. Matter of fact, I could probably quote the whole book that he has, and I've taken that stuff, I've assimilated my own spirit and taught that all over the place for years, but there was a time where that had gotten crusted over, and it moved from a place of fresh in my spirit to old in my soul. And I started realizing, wait a minute, I know all this stuff. Why am I dealing with things? And basically, the answer, thank God I sought God, because you see, I figured out something. I don't know it all yet. You know, I've read all kind of books on the power of words and all that, but I'm telling you, the stuff that we're getting on Sunday morning before service is so fresh, it's almost like I've never heard it before. Now, I know I have, but it's just like I haven't, but for two reasons. Number one, I'm not so proud to say, oh yeah, that's just Valerie. Oh yeah, she probably read so-and-so's books, and she's just teaching what she just read. That's all. No, I'm listening, Val. I'm listening because I want to know what I have failed to do since the last time I read the book, watched the DVD, listened to the CD. I know that if there's any fault in my health, in my finances, it's mine. And so, and if I've heard this stuff already, then all it is Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, where it says we let it slip. You know, you got to hold fast to the word because we let it slip. And you know what? I don't need to go back and try to get my old notes from 10 years ago because, listen, 10 years it was good. But guess what? I've grown since then, so I'm going to hear a lot different as well. You see, if we're growing spiritually, then we're growing in our soul. And the first time we hear something, we may lay a foundation. But you got to hear it again before you can actually build something on the foundation. You know, hearing about faith, it's your foundation. But when you hear it again, then you can. What did Paul say? He talks about how someone sowed, someone watered, and someone else brought the increase. And so for you and I, it might have been one of these great ministers that have sown that certain word. And all of a sudden, we got Valerie watering a word that may have been planted X amount of years ago in my spirit. If I just let that set there and nothing happens because, oh, I know all that stuff. I know, I've heard, oh yeah, yeah, I've heard that book. Oh yeah, I got so-and-so's book. Oh yeah, I got that book. Oh yeah, I have the DVDs also. See, it's very easy to get crusted over and to think, because I have the book, I've heard that before. And see, that's pride. Pride is unteachable, and we have got to stay teachable. All right, and so humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. We are in charge of our heart. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, you better be careful before God humbles you. Well, I hate to tell you this, but He tells us to humble ourselves. Because the truth is, if He has to humble us, it wasn't our heart. Brokenness, well, you know, God's going to break you. Listen, brokenness is a great place to be. And the devil will offer opportunities for you and I to be broken in our soul, but God would rather you and I stay at a place where we are broken before Him. You know, I appreciate all the friends that we have, and we've got great friends and ministry friends and personal friends, and they encourage us. But one of the things I like about friends is that we don't try to brag it up. You know, going to our convention this week, we'll hang out with folks that have massive churches. And you wouldn't even know. If you didn't know them, you wouldn't believe they have massive churches because they're just like one of us. And they're encouraging and they're a blessing. And man, I tell you what, we've got to make sure that we are staying humble toward God and we are not trying to close ourselves off, harden, and try to put on a facade. It's easy, because even like where pastors and church members are concerned, you know, as a pastor, I could be high and mighty and present to you that I know it all. Listen, I'm so excited about what I do know, and I feel like I know a lot, but I'm fully convinced I don't know it all. And if I shut myself down to learning from being a disciple, because that's what a disciple does. A disciple is a learner. If I'm no longer a learner, then I'm getting hard on the inside. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. You see, here in the buckle of the Bible Belt, churches and Christianity, it's so strong in the area, but the problem is pride comes along with that. Pride comes in there. Oh, yes, well, I've been in church before you were even born. Well, that's great, but so what's the problem then? You know, a lot of people, we brag about where, you know, I used to brag about, I used to name drop about who laid hands on me and what schools I come from and the people that I've been in contact with. But you know what? That has no relevance on anything today. My degrees, my diplomas, my certificates has nothing to do with where I am at this moment in my life. You know, the Bible school I went to, I loved it, had a wonderful life-changing time. Some of my closest friends are from the Bible school, from my classes that I was at. But I've got friends also, same Bible school, that they are living some lifestyles that would absolutely make your mind boggle. And so again, it's not about the school. It's not about who you were raised up under. It's where are you right now? You know, I could look back in my life and I can absolutely say that everything about me was set up for failure. I just didn't have a lot going. I mean, my self-esteem was bad. I mean, I could just go on and on and on. And man, watching the grace of God work in my life, and I'll be real honest with you, that song we sung today about how God loves us, man, it just opens my heart, because God has done so much on my behalf. It's not even fair to Him. I mean, the things that He has done for us and on our behalf, in the middle of our stupidity, in the middle of our junk, and then, wow, He blesses us. I'm telling you what, staying humble before the Lord will absolutely, well, it's beneficial, I can promise you that. 1 Peter chapter 5, let's look at, start at verse 5. Likewise, younger people, submit yourselves to the elders. Yes, all of you be submitted or submissive one to another, and be clothed in humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace toward the humble. Now, I want you to see this. You recognize who these guys are talking to in James and in 1 Peter. They're talking to the church. They're talking to churches. So they're warning us not to get complacent and not to get seared over, not let our conscience get seared over. Therefore, humble yourself. Everyone say, humble yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. You see, there's a lot of promotion that fails to happen because we don't humble ourselves. Because it says here, if we will humble ourselves, then He will lift us up, casting your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Everyone say cares. The word cares here means anxiety, cares that bring disruption. Listen to this. This word means cares that bring disruption to the personality and the mind. Cares that bring disruption, this original Greek, cares that bring disruption to the personality and the mind. Let's look at Luke 21. Luke chapter 21. This is the parable of the sower, sowing the word. Of course, we know that. Luke chapter 21. Luke 21 and then verse 34, it says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down and accompanied with carousing, drunkenness, cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly." In other words, it says here the word cares. Everyone say cares. Cares, they put up there with distractions like alcohol, like carousing and drunkard and different things, different vices. It puts cares in there. Why is that? Because it leads us away. Let me read that definition again of cares. Anxiety, cares that bring disruption of the personality to the personality and the mind. Now, what am I saying with that? It's very simple. when you and I, we can know the Word, we can know all about the Word, but when some care, something is introduced, we can easily lose our minds. You can write down Matthew 13, 22. That's actually the verse I was getting to with about the parable of the sower. It says, Matthew 13, 22, "And he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the words, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." So here is that word cares again. So we receive the word. Listen, we can be receiving the word for years, and man be doing great for years, and all of a sudden, one conflict, one circumstance, one situation could come in, and if our minds lock into that care, into that thing, it will begin to alter our mindset. It can alter your personality. Man, I have been with folk that were powerful, strong believers for many, many years, and then all of a sudden, they go through one thing. Now, I'm not going to say that it was a small thing they went through, because a lot of these things people go through, it's big things. But what happens is that care, their mind gets wrapped around that thing, and it alters their thinking. It alters their personality. You know, people that I haven't seen in a long time, and all of a sudden we get reintroduced, or I'll run into them. And a while back, there was a guy that I hadn't seen in, 30 years. Yeah, probably at least 30 years. We were in Houston, in Katy, Texas, just outside of Houston, at a mall, and a guy walks by and says, "Michael Moon," and just keeps on walking. I looked over there. Now, I didn't know who he was, because he was follicly challenged now, and so I didn't recognize him. And so, y'all got that, follicly challenged. Okay, all right, just making sure. All right. And so anyway, a guy I hadn't seen in 30 years. And, talking to him, and we just start chit-chatting, and man, he had gone through a lot. And, thank God he was back on track and remarried and things were going good. But, man, he was a different person. Thank God I have a friend of mine that he just retired from 21 years in the Army. And his first few years in the Army, he went to the same Bible school I was at. He was a first-year student when I was a second-year student. When he graduated, he joined the Army, went to the Airborne Division, and man, immediately after training, they sent him over to Afghanistan, to Iraq. He got his leg blown off, came back home. But you know what? This guy was not changed. This guy, that traumatic situation that he went through, he did not wrap his mind about his loss of leg. The only thing he hates is the fact that he couldn't be fighting out there with his guys. He couldn't stand the idea of just because he lost a leg, he can't go out there and fight. Kind of ticked him off. As a matter of fact, he was trying his best to get, once he got his prosthetic leg, he could do anything. Actually, he could do more than me with two legs and with one leg than I can with two. And so he was going to prove, but again, they just would not put him in the battlefield after that. And so what am I saying? We don't have to allow cares to change our thinking. But the problem is that when we go through things, if that moment our minds get wrapped around it, people say stuff like, just wrap your mind around this. We heard that statement before. Just wrap your mind about this. Consider this. Or here's the one. This is where our society is at today. Every day of the calendar, there is some kind of awareness going on. And everyone wants to make us aware of their situation or aware of their kinfolk situation, aware of this. The problem is, you try to make them aware of the blood, they get aggravated. They're wanting to make you aware of this day and that day. But here's the thing, we're following along with it. How about this? Okay, back in the day, before social media, there was not National Pancake Day and National This Day and Ice Bucket Challenge and Mannequin Challenge. But you know what? As the world started getting closer together, where we can communicate what we want, all of a sudden, when someone says it's National This Day, we line up at the pancake place to get pancakes. You know what? We were at Believers Convention this year. National Cheesecake Day was, I think, the Monday of Believers Convention. And we go down the street wanting to go get some Cheesecake Factory. And man, it was like an hour and a half wait. And I'm like, what is the deal tonight? And someone said it was National Cheesecake Day. I'm like, really? You feel obligated? Okay, how many of y'all go every Tuesday or multiple Tuesdays for tacos? Okay, praise God. All right, woohoo! We don't follow the crowd. So Taco Tuesday, in your face. But what I'm saying is so many people feel compelled to jump on the wagon with other things. And what happens is when you're on someone's wagon that you don't even know. You don't know who started these things, and you don't know why they were started. But all of a sudden, we're going to jump on because everybody. And look, we all say that we don't do what everybody else does. Listen, if you're at the Cheesecake Factory on National Cheesecake Day, guess what? Yeah, I rest my case. But anyway, we were there because of the Believers Convention and da 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 da. All right, so we had no idea. So the other day was that I get emails from IHOP, you know, and National Pancake Day, and so I heard somebody on the radio saying they were going for pancakes. I'm like, pancakes? Why today? And then I realized, oh yeah, National Pancake Day. All right, I like pancakes, just FYI. So back to here, you receive Matthew 13:22. He also receives among the thorns. He is one who hears the word, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becomes fruitful. Look at Psalms chapter 10. Psalms chapter 10. I'm going to set this up, and then we will punch through here. Psalms chapter 10, verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in his thoughts. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek God. God is not in his thoughts. You know, the word seek literally means to pursue. The word seek also means, in the Hebrew, it means to worship or to pay homage. One of the things that you'll find all through the Old Testament is the benefit of seeking God. Because see, if we're not seeking God, if you read, you'll see this, and we'll go over this more. But in the Old Testament, when someone wasn't seeking God or did not seek God or does not seek God, you'll find reference to they didn't trust in God. You see, when we put our, what we're chasing is what we're trusting. You know, when Keys and I first started dating, she was a Bible school student, I was on staff, and I got executive permission, just FYI, to date her. And she would go home on the weekends back to Garland. You know, Columbus is almost 5 hours away. And so when I would get off work after a weekend retreat, I would drive 5 hours up to spend a few hours with her. I'd leave at midnight on a Sunday night, drive 5 hours, get home. I was telling my class at school the other day, last week we talked about angels. You know, try telling a bunch of Baptist folk about angels, man. That's something they never heard. And so anyway, so we were talking about angels, and they're asking me, well, have you ever had encounters with angels? I said, let me tell you about one of my encounters. I said, I was about to doze off. I was in between Giddings, Texas, somewhere on Highway 77 out in Central Texas. I had just left midnight Kiza, and I'm driving down back to Columbus, Texas. And so I was falling asleep, and I heard somebody yell at the top of their voice, Michael! And let me tell you, Moo Moo wasn't sleeping after that. I was awake for the rest. Matter of fact, when I got back, I was buzzing all the way to work. I took a shower, got changed into my uniform, and I was good to go. Man, I didn't even get sleepy the next day. Now, I slept like a baby that next night, but as far as that goes, but what I'm saying is I kept the road between Garland and Columbus hot. I was in pursuit. And there was proof. Matter of fact, my spiritual father, he didn't know I was dating at that time. And I didn't realize he was watching out of his window at 5 o'clock in the morning when I drove in. And so I had to get his airplane out of his hangar over there in Columbus. And I'm pulling his airplane out, you know, and getting it all set up for him and helping the guy fuel it up. And he pulls up and he said, Munu, was that you coming in at 5 a.m. this morning? I said, yes, sir. He said, what are you doing staying out so late? I said, well, I was up in Garland, Texas, visiting a friend. Munu, who do you know up in Garland? You know, because he knew I stayed down this way, and he knew I was from Houston. Oh, you know, just a friend, Brother Tommy, just a friend. Okay, just a friend. Okay, I see. I'll figure it out. And so, of course, he did. He did part of my wedding later on, and so it was all good. But what I'm saying is seeking is pursuing. Seeking is, if you desire or require something, you and I are going to seek it. We're going to pursue it, but for so many times in so many areas, because we don't trust God in a certain area of our life, we don't pursue in that particular area. You know, I appreciate good teaching in the area of finances because proof of who I trust in the area of finances is labeled on the tithe line of my offering envelope. You know, the kids asked a really great question. Somebody said that one of the kids yesterday, we were down in Terrell, and we were turning a corner, and all of a sudden, just out of the blue, Max asked, Mom, how come we always have money? And so, I mean, we never portray that we're broke. We don't believe in broke, so we're never going to communicate broke. We're going to communicate we believe God. And so the kids, I guess everything we want, we get, you know, and that's not spoiled. Well, yeah, it is. And so your daddy spoils you, right? And so it just kind of was out of the blue. And so Max just asked us, well, Dad, how come we always have money? And boy, I'm like, okay, here's my chance. I said, son, it was real simple. We tithe. We don't trust our jobs. We don't trust our paychecks. We don't trust. Listen, I trust God. The reason why we tithe, we tell them and we talk about tithing, and they've been doing it ever since they've been getting money, and so they should get used to it by now, and they've seen so many great things happening. But then every once in a while, they're like, you know, they'll get money for their grades or whatever, and they're like, oh yeah, we got to tithe. No. You don't got to tithe. Y'all don't have to. But that means you close the door for God to do some awesome things in your life. You know, they're starting to see what God does and God speaks to people. And we just don't believe in trying to work people over for money. And that's one of the things they're learning is you don't have to work people over. The Holy Ghost will work folk over for you. So you never have to say a word. But what I'm saying this morning is, where are we trusting? We can say, well, you know, we're just trusting God. A lot of folk, well, I'm trusting God for my body. Well, good. Let me see your scripture list that you're going over every single day. You know, I appreciate Willis's testimony this morning because he told us who he was trusting. And because you know who he's trusting, that business has no choice but to obey the word. And listen, Greenville, Texas is not a rich town. You know, when he told me a while back he was transferring to Greenville, I told him, I said, well, I'm going to be agreeing with you. Matter of fact, I came by, I believe it was his first week out there. I drove out there and I said, hey, I'm going to pray over your business. He was on the other side of the counter. I grabbed his hand. We prayed and we spoke blessing over that place because I want to believe with him for that place to increase. Now, look at that place. As a matter of fact, since he's been there, the shopping center around the corner from him started to prosper. More restaurants have come in. I'd love to take credit for that, but that might have been Willis. Now, I will take credit for the Whataburger in Quinlan, but the problem is it won't be open before we move. And so there we go. But what I'm saying today is, do we trust God? We may have trusted Him a year ago. We may have trusted Him 10 years ago. But for us to say, well, you know, well, yes, Michael, you know, little brother, I've been trusting God for a long time. Well, it don't sound like it. The whining, the begging, the all that stuff. Listen. I'm telling you, it's so easy for the cares of this world to get a hold of us, and then all of a sudden we wrap our mind around that instead of keeping our minds wrapped around the Word of God, and then all of a sudden the situation changes our personality. Now listen, I don't dog folk that's happened to. My heart goes out to them. Some of the greatest hurts I have ever experienced in my life were from pastors and ministers. It's the deepest hurts ever in my life. But you know what? I've had to get past that because there's time I wasn't sleeping, I was getting headaches, and I blame those jokers. Now thank God they got themselves straight. Praise God. And so, but what I'm saying is for you and I, we can easily allow the circumstances to get our minds wrapped around it, but we need to make sure trusting God is always where our minds are wrapped around the Word of God. I believe this morning, if we have ever got to that place or we've given entrance to where we started to wrap ourselves around that situation, because, you know, that word from Joel this morning about our identity, you know what? What we wrap our minds around becomes our identity. We can become a victim or we can be the victor who we are. And so if we are wrapping our minds around who we are, who I am in Christ, and who He says we are, then that's where we'll be. You know, look at David. You know, he wrapped his mind around God is our protection. And so he was a little concerned about why in the world the armies of God are scared of this big-headed giant. He couldn't wrap his mind around that, because his mind was wrapped around his covenant of protection that God's given his angels charge over them. Listen, you and I, no matter what's going on, we have to keep our minds fresh. I will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Isaiah 26, verse 3. This morning, it's time for us to keep ourselves tender, teachable, and humble before God, because He's ready to lift us up. Amen? Let's stand.